Welcome to the Couple Money Podcast, the show where we share stories and advice on building up your marriage and wealth. I'm Elle Martinez. Have you ever felt discouraged by your past money mistakes? I know I've been mad at myself thinking about the time wasted paying back the debt I had acquired. While reflecting on your mistakes can help you make better choices now, replaying it over and over can mess with you. You can dramatically improve your outlook, finances, and life by finding that balance and making better choices. Lisa from Mad Money Monster is here on the podcast. Today, we talk about defining what matters to you and pursuing that, changing your own course with money, and learning to be content in your own skin. I hope you enjoy. There's so much about, quote, what we should be doing with our money. And I think mm-hmm. that bypasses the main consideration is, what do you want to do first? Like, can you define
exactly
what's important to you? And
right.
I guess we can start off with that.
We don't want to have to go to a job every single day. I mean, I know that's so cliche, right? We want to have the option. That's really what we're striving for. Not necessarily early retirement, but we want the option to retire early. So, you know, my job, I enjoy it. I don't know if it's what I want to do every single day the rest of my life. Yeah, I enjoy the income that I make from it and the benefits. And right now it really works for us because we're kind of landlocked with our daughter in school. We have a young daughter, so we're here for the long haul in this location because of her schooling. We don't want to move her around. And my husband, he actually doesn't have a typical 9-to-5. So he is passionate about his career and he do it for free. Thankfully, he's not.
That's a good way to feel about what you're doing. You want to be in that mode.
Exactly. So for him, it's more so for me to have the option to retire because he will never retire. So that's what we're striving for.
Great. So, and I love that you point out that you guys enjoy what you're doing and you want some stability because I almost feel like everybody online is chanting, quit your job and, you know, travel and do all this. And, you know, for some people, that is exactly what they want to do. And that's the right path for them. But
I agree.
There's so many different options. And that, to me, that's what true financial freedom is.
Right. And I think it's great when people do quit their jobs and they travel and they do all this hacking. And I mean, I think that's fantastic. I don't know. Well, I'm pretty certain that's not for us. Like, we do like to travel. We like seeing new things, going new places. But as far as being full-time travelers, I don't think that's ever going to be in the cards for us. It just sounds too exhausting. So we like having our home base. And then, you know, if we want to go, you know, travel 4 weeks out of the year or something, we want the option to do that, you know. And as far as liking my job, yes. But I would like to have the option to maybe explore a different career, which I know is just something that a lot of these early retirees are doing anyway. It's not like they're handing in the resignation and they're sipping martinis on a beach, you know, for the rest of their lives. A lot of them are exploring other options and avenues and also making income that way, whether it be by happenstance or just by design.
I love how you approach it. I mean, you're pretty transparent in terms of your thought process and what you're working at now. For those maybe that aren't familiar with you, were you always in this financial freedom mindset, or how did that go about?
Unfortunately, I'm a Gen Xer, and my husband is as well. We didn't know this existed until a couple of years ago. It just wasn't something that was something that we came up with. You know what I mean? We were just traditional trajectory. That's what we were taught. That's what we know. That's what we were living. And then I just kind of happened to find some blogs one day. I think Budgets Are Sexy was the first one I found. And I thought, oh, wow, this is fascinating. So, you know, I just kind of started digging from there. And I found this whole subset of people that are blazing this trail of financial independence, and I just couldn't wait to jump on the bandwagon. So, I mean, I've always been interested in personal finance. I grew up poor, so especially after college, when I graduated college, I worked my way through college, so I didn't come out with a lot of debt from that, thankfully. But after that, I started reading, you know, the Rich Dad, Poor Dad, the standard books that were available at the time. But now there is so much information. You know, I think that that kind of, we didn't have the information available back then when I graduated. But yeah, I don't know if I answered your question or not. I kind of tend to go off on tangents.
No. This is kind of why I enjoy following you on your site. I mean, you're just speaking from the heart. You mentioned you grew up poor. I know there seems to be, not always, but like a pattern where you go from one extreme or the other, where you are like, I don't ever want to feel like this again. I'm going to be like an automatic saver. And then there's ones who feel like, oh, I'm going to enjoy what I have now because I don't know how long it's going to last. Did you go to either kind of side?
So it's funny. I guess, okay, so I did grow up poor, and I do say poor, and it is used in the traditional sense. However, the real issue with me is that I grew up in a trailer. However, our trailer was spotless. It was beautiful. I never felt poor. Like, my parents always had money to pay the bills. We always had money for food and entertainment, and we always dressed well, and we looked fantastic. So I didn't feel poor. Now, certainly some of that money they could have been funneling into retirement accounts, which they were not doing. So I felt poor because I grew up on the right side of the tracks in a trailer. So, you know, I was going to school with kids that had a lot more than I did. And they lived in these beautiful homes. And so I guess I always had a feeling of inadequacy. Let's say that. I'll say that that was the issue. So I wanted, and what I saw the big house. I saw everything they had that I didn't. And I wanted that. And I knew that money obviously gets you that. At the time, I wasn't thinking if they were in debt or, you know, I didn't know any of that. But yeah, that's the issue with me. It was an inadequacy issue. Same thing with education. You know, I was always intimidated. You know, a lot of my friends' parents, they had gone to college, and, you know, my parents didn't even graduate high school. So that was always intimidating to me. So I made sure, like, that is a goal of mine. I will graduate college if I die. Like, that is, I'm going to do that. Not that it's that big of a deal, but to me at the time, you know, it was. So mission accomplished.
Yeah. So you got a house. Was there a point where you're like, okay, I've acquired this, but I want something else? I mean, how did that transition happen?
I know these days, you know, everybody's talking about, oh, I did this and at lightning speed and I made all the right moves and I'm retiring at 32. And that wasn't me. That wasn't me at all. So I did happen to do the right thing with college. I graduated with not a lot of debt. But there were many mistakes I made along the way. And that kind of was rolled up in the fact that, you know, I chose the wrong boyfriend and I let relationships drag on that shouldn't. And I let those things kind of derail my financial focus. I was always focused on, you know, beefing up my income. Like I said, I wanted the college education so I could make more money than my parents did, so I could buy that house that I didn't have, you know. So, but yeah, I definitely made mistakes along the way. But I did. When I graduated, I was, you know, contributing a high percentage to my 401k. I was maxing out my IRA. I was doing all those things. But again, I also allowed things to derail me too. So it was a series of two steps forward, one step backwards. Now, what happened with Mr. Mad Money Monster and I, when we met, we were in our 30s, later 30s. And that was, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago at this point, 4 years ago, when we met. And we kind of started doing the things that, you know, new couples do. You're going out on dates all the time. You're dropping, you know, $60, $70, $100 on dinner a few times a week. And that stuff is just crazy. And it adds up fast, as we all know. But, you know, you have that new love feeling and you're making these stupid decisions. So, yes. You know, we were planning our wedding and he had moved into my home I had a smaller home. We still have it. We still live in it. But it was 1,300 square feet. We ended up with, you know, ourselves, our daughter, and our two dogs, two big dogs, and two cats. So it was a little cramped. I mean, people talk about living tiny. Like, I felt like we were living tiny in this 1,300 square foot house. And it was basically my starter home that I had purchased on my own before I met him. And we decided we needed a big house, you know, and this was, I was all for this, even though it was a very stupid decision that we should not have been making at the time. So we were planning our wedding and we were getting this house. And it was 3,000 square feet. It was 5 bedrooms. It had a finished basement. It basically came out to be over 4,000 square feet if you count the basement. And, you know, we weren't sleeping at night because we were just anticipating this, you know, all the extra expenses and things that we're going to have to incur and what we're going to have to continue to make as far as income for, you know, the foreseeable future. We were just literal panic attacks. I would wake up in a cold sweat almost, like the movies, you know, you yeah. see somebody jump out of a nightmare. That was me almost daily or nightly. So funny thing, lucky for us, there was an issue with the home inspection that they could not easily remediate. So we took that and we ran with it, and we canceled our contract, and we have been sleeping like babies ever since. Nice. So that was our regroup moment where we said, you know, what are we doing? You know, we are full-fledged adults and we are making stupid decisions with our money. And that was actually the moment when I started Googling, you know, when I started to get back to my financial roots, you know, that I had started when I graduated college. And I was starting to Google and came across all these blogs, and I was inspired. And I thought, you know what, we're going to start a blog of our own. Yes. So that's what we did. And the rest is history, right?
With spending, like a lot of people like, oh, should I spend money on this? And on one hand, there's certain things I feel like are obviously like, please don't get a car lease. But then there's yeah. things where I would say it's kind of a gray line. Is that the right choice for you? I think is the better question, because everyone kind of has their line of what they say is a necessary thing or an important thing and what's a splurge. So how do you decide which is which?
We tend to love our experiences. I mean, I think everybody's talking about that, you know, nowadays, but it's true. You know, you spend money on a vacation, but those are memories that will last for the rest of your life. So we're okay with doing that, as long as it's calculated and it's not just a whim, like let's fly to the other side of the world for 2 weeks. You know, we will calculate, we will plan, we will pay cash. But another thing we like to spend money on, or we not like to spend money, but we will spend money on, is our home. So mm-hmm. I love custom high grade finishes. So it's a really good thing we have a small house.
Yes.
Let's say that. So, you know, when we were finishing the basement, you know, the upstairs doesn't have a fireplace. And that was something that I absolutely was not compromising on. I want a fireplace. And, you know, we had a certain amount of money set aside. This is what we're working with. We're not going over this amount. Of course, we went over that amount. Not by much, but we did. But the fireplace, we sat down with the contractor. We were looking at different fireplaces. Now, I wanted a sleek, modern, like a horizontal, one of those long fireplaces with the glass beads on the bottom. Mm. And, you know, to get that, it was a lot more. I mean, it was thousands more expensive than the traditional. And my husband was sitting there, well, I would be okay with the traditional, you know, and I said, I would not. This is going to be the focal point of our room, our family room, and we have got to spend the money on this, you know, and I just knew if we didn't, I would sit in the house every evening kicking myself that we did not spend the money on that. So I do subscribe to buying quality over quantity. Obviously, you know, if I'm going to buy a pair of boots, they're going to be a pair of good, well-made boots. They might cost a little bit more, but they're going to last for a very long time. They're going to be able to be repaired. You know, mm-hmm. that's what I'll do. So, but yeah, as far as cars, I drive them into the ground.
Yes. Yes. Me too. Is it, and I love chatting about this because it's always like everyone has a story like, oh, man, I made a terrible mistake, but I learned from it. And that's always important.
Oh, yeah.
But you have some practical advice, and you don't go with maybe what's, quote, popular with personal finance bloggers. For example, you with groceries.
Yep.
Order online, which
that's right.
Some people might not associate that with someone who is trying to, like, you know, give themselves more option and freedom. So what made you come up with this idea, and does it really save you money?
Yes, it really does save us money. It's not hundreds. We're not saving hundreds a month. We might be saving upwards of $50 a month to do this. Where I came up with the idea, you know, I saw somebody post something on Facebook, of course, you know, one of my friends posted something, and I thought that's interesting, you know. And then a few weeks go by, and then I happened to find myself behind this Peapod truck, you know, this is the service in our area. And I'm reading the back of it, and that's what I saw on my friend's Facebook post. And I got to work. I was driving to work, and I got to work within 5 minutes, and I Googled it, and I was sold immediately. I mean, it's not very expensive. There is a fee to get your groceries delivered, but we cut down the amount of time that we have. So we're not doing it, you know, all the time. Although you can pay an annual fee and get unlimited deliveries, we don't do that. So we will order larger quantities fewer times. So we save money with that. We often get a coupon sent to my email where we get $20 off. So that takes care of the tip, if you choose to give a tip, mm-hmm. As well as the delivery fee, and then some. It kind of works out. You get all the, you can use your store card, you know, for the discounts. You can use coupons. Not that I clip coupons, but if somebody does, you can use them. So yes, it does. It saves me time. It saves the order. I can walk around with the app, and I can scan the products in my home right now that we're running low on that I want to order, and it'll save it for when I want to actually press send and have them ship it out. So it's fantastic. I am all about my time. I love my free time. So if I can optimize something, I mean, we used to spend, you know, every Saturday going to 3 different stores trying to get the cheapest this or cheapest that. And, you know, by the time you waste half a day, no thank you, you know? So that's how we came up with that decision.
Yeah, because I think I'm not against you spending money if it gives a value, you know, and I think you feel the same way. If there's some kind of value, and it could be, you know, like an enjoyment value for me, time. So yes. I can do things more with the family, or even just to, you know, to have more time for projects I need to do, or rest, because sometimes you just
yes.
need to rest.
That's right. I mean, I'm doing the blog full time, and I say that, and that's not an exaggeration. I'm probably putting more hours in on the blog than I am my actual full time day job. And I'm doing that full time, and I have a daughter, and I have a husband, and I have a house, and we have a rental house. So if we can do that and save money, we are going to do that.
Special thanks to Lisa for coming on today. If you want to learn more about her journey, please head over to madmoneymonster.com. And don't forget to check out the show notes for today's episode. I have links to some of my favorite posts from Lisa, as well as resources to help you take control of your money and change your future. Just head over to couplemoney.com. And you may notice some new stuff on the site, including the new book, Jumpstart Your Marriage and Your Money. It's available now for pre-order on Amazon and will be released next month, June 13th. It's a 4-week guide for newlyweds and couples looking to reboot with their money. After almost 200 episodes and countless interviews with couples who've dumped their debt, saved for their dreams, or retired early, there were certain patterns, habits, and resources that kept coming up. This book walks you through step by step how you guys can get on the same page, set up your money so it's working for you, and achieve your goals faster. So if you want to pre-order the book, just go to couplemoney.com/book. Until then, of course, you can catch the podcast. Please make sure you're subscribed to it. You'll get the latest shows and tips on building your wealth together sent to you. It's free and easy. We're out there on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Play, and more. You can also grab the feed off our site so you can listen to the show from whatever podcast app you prefer. I hope you have a wonderful week. Take care.